the 3rd of December 2008. Sorry, there's a typo. It says 2009 in your thing. It's 2008. Cabinet approved the bill for public comment and introduction into Parliament. The bill was published for public comment on 12th December. The closing date for public...
What's this income? People have stopped using the toilets inside, you know, the flush toilets, which we call the water bottle. Because water is so unreliable. If you use this thing, you're learning, you find that the house gets dead. It's a serious order because you can't flush it. Now they've told to build these things outside. You know, you use the... see, like the road that you build yourself outside. They've built that. So they don't use inside. To me, in a city center, don't show the level of problems that are there, that I think the district on its own can solve. It requires the provincial government that must be able to draw down, even water affairs and forest, national, to say these things can't be allowed to do. I mean, we are saying that once we want to be providing water in terms of our goals to everyone by end of the year. Once we fail even to maintain what is there, to meet these goals, I don't think we'll meet them. I mean, we've gone to municipality, I don't think we'll be able to. I think we must revise them. Then I'm saying at that level, to me, I think it's an issue. But amongst other things that at a district level, which I think is a problem, we must really intervene. You know, that part of the country is a poor, in the Eastern Cape as a whole. The OR Tambo system, poor. However, it has a great potential because it's a virgin area, no area that's underdeveloped. It means you can come and develop that. It is a coastal line, coastal place, which to me, I think, as a province, you must ensure that there's an economic growth and development strategy so you can attract investors to come and give them money. So this is going to be unreliant on the handouts. As you wait for national to give you money for you to come, they are able to ensure the economic growth happens at that level. Even in Mthatha cases, I don't think they have a strategy for development. They said they have a master plan
that's currently being prepared now for 2009 will have a section dealing with how the allocations of transfers will be done in the 2009 Division of Revenue Bill. Provincial functions performed in the affected municipalities will also be affected either by the provincial governments or on an agency basis by the affected municipalities will need to be addressed. This might also require adjustments to provincial budgets in order to address the shift in functions performed by one province to another. This has been the case when the last round of 2005 boundary changes took place. Implications for the municipalities: the Merafong local municipality will be relocated to the Gauteng province, and the boundary of Dr. Kenneth Kaunda and West Rand district municipalities will be redetermined. Now, we have received a number of comments, and we've made a package available, including all the relevant documentation to the members of the committee and the chairs. We received a total of 4 public comments. Two comments were received from individuals in the Merafong City Local Municipality, that Mr. T.J. Moalusi and Mr. Nell. There were other 2 comments from 2 organizations, National Treasury and SALGA, and all of that has been included in the package that has been distributed by the committee clerks. Summary of the comments received: we thought it's important that the committees have a brief summary of the comments received. Mr. Moalusi objects to the bill, citing insufficient consultation. Mr. Nell is critical of the process followed when the bill was developed, citing, again, insufficient consultation. SALGA consulted with all the affected municipalities and indicates that the bill is fully supported by these municipalities. SALGA's concerns are with regard to the implementation date, the transitional arrangements, and the financial implications. The National Treasury does not object to the bill per se. The National Treasury also made some further comments, which the House can consider. The National Treasury proposed a further amendment to Section 5 of the Act to designate a body with an oversight function in monitoring management of the transition. The National Treasury also raises concerns about the fiscal framework implications due to provincial boundary changes on the intergovernmental fiscal transfers, provincial equitable shares, and the municipal infrastructure grant, that is the MIG grant, known as the MIG grant. The National Treasury indicates that 2005 provincial boundary change implications are still being felt by provinces and municipalities. The 2009 budget for Gauteng province will not be able to provide for any adjustments of allocation to the Merafong City local municipality. National Treasury's opinion that while and subject to the division of revenue and the section that it's going to deal with on the issue of how the current allocations in this new bill will be handled, that the status quo as far as the financial implications remain until 2010 and 2011 financial year, and they provide a whole series of reasons why they can't make that adjustment in this current bill that's going to be serving next week, I think, or introduction of the Division of Revenue by the Minister of Finance. Now, the Ministry has, alongside these processes and consultations, the Ministry has also been intensively involved in the area of the Merafong City local municipality, and it intends to establish a transitional committee with the relevant stakeholders. The aim of the committee is to discuss and inform the community about the process of transferring Merafong City local municipality to Gauteng province and to address any other matters. We have members of the ministry here who have been dealing intensively with this, and should it be necessary, they will speak to some of the efforts of the ministry in this regard. Now, in terms of the actual clauses in the bill, I'm just going to run you very quickly through the clauses. We have a legal section here which will deal with the technical and legal implications should you have any queries around that. Clause 1, the amendment of Section 1 of the Act 23 of 2005, that is definition of Section 17 notice, the Structures Act. Sorry for that, we should refer to the Municipal Structures Act. Clause 2, substitution of Section 1A of Act 23 of 2005 as inserted by Section 1 of the Act 24207, link of this bill to the 16th, clause links this bill to the 16th Constitution Amendment Bill, which Justice will present on later on. Clause 3, amendment of Section 2 of the Act 23 of 2005, is dealed with the consequences regarding the number of councillors for districts, including repeal of Section 12 notices, the Structures Act, which establishes the municipal, the Merafong City local municipality in the Northwest province. Clause 4 is amendment of Section 4 of the Act 23 of 2005. It provides for the consequent amendments to Section 12 notices. Clause 5, the amendment of Schedule 4, if you remember clearly in the 2005 Act, there were a number of schedules attached to that Act. So some amendments have to be done to those schedules. As amended by Section 2 of Act 24 of 2007, here is substitution of expressions in roles relating to the designated technical terms NW405, DC40, and DC48. Clause 6, amendment of the Schedule 5 to Act 23 of 2005, as amended by Section 3 of the Act 24 of 2007. This is involves substitution for all expressions in the role relating to NW45, DC40, and DC48. Clause 7, insertion of Schedule 6 into Act 23 of 2005, that deals with deemed disestablished municipalities. Clause 8, application of the Constitution 12th Amendment Act 2005 provisions to this bill. And Clause 9 is the short title. Chairperson, that's very, very quickly a very quick overview and briefing on what the bill entails, its background, and some of the implications. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Members, here's the bill as presented. Any questions? or quick comments from yourselves, members? Any questions of clarity or comments? Yes, Honorable Jeffries.
Yeah, I was going to suggest, why doesn't Justice do their presentation?
Yeah.
Because really you can't separate them. It's one concept just being dealt with in two parts. So I want to suggest that Justice do their presentation and then we have comments on the whole thing.
Thank you, Chairperson. In order to avoid duplication, I did not prepare a presentation like the PLG because the background information and the motivation for the amendments are exactly the same. Chairperson, the Constitution Amendment, 16th Amendment Bill, seeks to give effect to the decision to reincorporate Never Fong's 30 local municipality into the Gauteng province. This is thought to be achieved by amending Schedule 1A to the Constitution. 1A sets out the geographical areas of the provinces. And by amending Schedule 1A, we give effect, or we in effect change the boundary between Northwest and Gauteng. If members have a look at the bill itself, you see there's only one clause giving effect to that. So actually it's a very straightforward and simple bill. It's only substituting the existing references to the maps of Dr. Kenneth Kaunda and West Rand Municipality with the new with references to the new redemarcated maps indicating the new redemarcated municipalities. That is far as the contents of the bill is concerned, Chairperson. So as I said, it's straightforward, it's amending the provincial boundaries. Chairperson, this bill has, in terms of Section 74.5 of the Constitution, been published in the Government Gazette for public comments. It has been referred to all the provincial legislatures for their views. We also have received, I think, six submissions. Mr. Nell and Mr. Mualuzi, I think, submitted basically the same kind of comments to us. The province of the Mpumalanga Provincial Legislature supports the bill, although it recommends that this bill should not deal with Merafong only, but also with the Mutsi and the Mutatiyo case. KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Legislature also supports, and then Ministry of Provincial and Local Government and SAGA supports the bill. Chairperson, then one important issue is because this bill affects the boundaries of provinces, it has to be also approved by the National Council of Provinces with at least six supporting votes. However, the NCOP cannot approve the bill unless the provincial legislatures of Gauteng and Northwest have approved the bill in terms of Section 74.8 of the Constitution. So this is procedural requirements for the passing of this bill. Chairperson, I think that is all from as far as the Constitution 16th Amendment Bill is concerned, because I said it's, in my view, very straightforward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You may now ask questions of clarity comment. Koshi?
Thanks, Chairperson. No, Chair, I think let me start off by thanking the People's Cabinet, who, after a serious consideration, they are prepared to listen to what the people want. That is our Cabinet, of which we are very proud of, Chairperson. They listen to what the people want, even though this was passed some few months ago, and in their sober mind decided that this must happen. That is the executive chair. Now, no other person who can do that other than the government led by the ANC chairs, of which we are very proud of. And I can tell you, Chairperson, that the people of Merafong are so excited by the ANC-led government, Chairperson, for what they've done. Now, the only question that I want to check, Chair, is the proposal by Treasury that the status quo should remain, if that can be unpacked to tell us exactly what they mean. That finances that had to take care of Merafong should come from Northwest as budgeted initially? Or what are they proposing? Or are they saying, even if this will be passed, we change that the affected municipalities will go back to Gauteng. What is it that they're saying should remain up until 2010-11? Because that might be confusing some people, Chairperson. But having said that, Chairperson, the ANC-led government, the executive, they've done very well. And we're very happy of this kind of move, Chair. Thanks very much. Only that question, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. I think I've been partly covered by Hoshi because I just wanted to check. You said here the SALCA was concerned about the implementation and transitional arrangement. And the last point you said, National Treasurer does not object. So I wanted to find out whether after the explanation by the National Treasurer, is SALCA happy now or they are still concerned?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me agree with colleagues who say that it was necessary to listen to the people of Merafong about where they want to be placed. And I agree that this is an important decision that had to be taken to ensure that the needs of the people are taken into account. Having said that, Chairperson, I must also declare that I come from the Northwest. I represent the Northwest province in the NCOP. Now, whilst this important decision helps to address the grievances of the people, and I agree completely with that, I must also say that the province that we represent in this house in terms of the equitable share is being negatively affected by this decision. That's one part that Chairperson one would want to raise as a concern and say the other question that one would want to be clarified on is on the other parts of that city. Just clarity on that. Before the place was complete, was actually consolidated into Merafong, you had parts of that part, that municipality as part of the Northwest. And during all these protests, and that's what I also observed in the submissions that have been made. During all these protests, those areas never protested. They never said that they would want to be part of the Gauteng because they were never part of Gauteng. Forgeville, Wadela, and so on, they've always been part of the Gauteng. Now, if one can just get a clarity, Chairperson, which is very good. If when we talk about Merafong municipality city, it includes all those areas to be part of county. Thank you very much.
Chair, thanks. Maybe just following on from that point, because I see it was also in the submissions of those two individual members of the public complaining that certain areas that were never part of Gauteng were being moved in. And what I'd like to understand is, I mean, Merafong was a cross-boundary municipality. Before the original transfer, when the cross-boundaries were abolished, what was the situation? What was where? I mean, is it possible to see a map of that? So that we can see what changes we are in fact making. So what was the situation before the boundary changes, which were, I think, what was it, 2004, I think, or what was the situation before, what was the position after, and now we can see from the maps what changes are being made now. That was one. Two is when will the, if Parliament passes the bills in the next few months, when will they be implemented? When the elections take place, where will the people of Merafong vote? Can we get clarity on that question? And then thirdly, if you look at the submission from the Mpumalanga legislature, the question is raised, they support the issue but want it delayed so that Mutse and I think it's Matatiel should be included as well. And they refer to a court case on Mutse and an affidavit from the minister, which apparently outlined a process. I think it would be useful to get a copy of that affidavit, because Mpumalanga are making reference to it. And I'd heard the minister on the radio saying the reason that Mutse and Matatiel were not being dealt with now was because there wasn't consensus on that. But I think that's a question that's going to come up, and we need a sort of detailed explanation as to why are the other areas where there are disputes not being included, why are we only dealing with one area. So Chair, just those three questions. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the department for their presentation. If my ANC comrades opposite had listened to good advice from the DA originally, this fiasco would not have taken place. Now to reincorporate it back into Gauteng. What I would like to know is, anybody costed this little exercise? What is the actual costs involved? So I think that all the taxpayers and everybody can know what this has resulted in, what the actual costs are going to be. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, sir. Well, the ANC carries the burden to undo the damage that was done by the racist regimes of the past. Now and then, mistakes are bound to happen. But the good thing is that the ANC listens and admits mistakes and corrects them. Hence, we're meeting here today. But my question, sir, relates to the matter that has been raised by Mr. Mwalusi and Nell about the claim that the part of this municipality were never really part of Gauteng before. Now, I'd like to know as to what did the government of Gauteng and Northwest say about that particular matter, particularly the Northwest government. Was it happy that parts of this municipality that used to be part of it will now be part of Gauteng as a result of this bill?
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, mine is not a question, it's just a comment to say, if we keep on pointing fingers at each other, saying comrades, saying who, I think that doesn't take us anywhere. Could we put it with due respect, be suspended in this meeting? Two chairperson, you know, as one browsed through this paper, chairperson, there's a paragraph there that says, although most residents of this area, which is Khuto, which is, Forgeville, what from the old Western Transvaal, those Forgeville, Kokosi, Greenstack, and Wedela, historically they were never part of Gauteng province. But funny and fancy, they were in these disruptions, they were in the marches, they were part of what was happening in Khutong. Why did they go there? Once you see Makumete there, then it means Makumete is part of the people who want to be taken to Gauteng. Otherwise, if I'm not part of people who want to go to Gauteng, I should have sitting at home Now, all of a sudden, they are turning around. They didn't want to go to Gauteng. They want to remain in the Northwest. But they were part of the matches. Thank you, Chair.
Let's get reaction from the department. I see no other questions, comments.
No, thanks, Chair. I'm going to ask Mr. Myron Peter to respond. If you, we also want to ask Mr. Kontwana from the minister to respond. And then there was a question on SALGA. I see there is a senior representative from SALGA who may just want to deal with that. With the, through you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think it will deal with some of the questions on the question of the position by the National Treasury that the status quo should remain. We've consulted with National Treasury, and they provided us with a possible financial implications document which explains their position. And the first thing they are saying is that the preparation with respect to the budget is now very late and far gone and very advanced, and it would be difficult to make any serious changes. Flowing from that, one of the reasons why the serious changes can't be made immediately now is because that some of the fiscal transfers and the conditional grants involve formulae, which I applied when they divide up the funds. And that formula has to be informed by statistics and data. And that is very difficult at the moment to go back and make an assessment of the data currently. They can only do that during the course of 2009. There are issues, for instance, the transfers to the schools have to be reassessed, and adjustments have to be made, and they cannot do that in such a short time. A whole host of other kinds of data like GDR and so forth, they cannot work that out now in the space of about a week or two. To adjust the, so that's the key reasons why they are saying. However, they are saying that they will ensure in their division of revenue bill, and I have a draft copy of that here, a set of legislative arrangements which ensures that the provinces continue to spend in those areas that they have been spending in, even though those areas, after the enactment of this bill, will be legally transferred from. They have also said that there's a possibility of an arrangement, inter-provincial arrangement, between the premiers of the two provinces to ensure that the allocations of the funds that have been done to those areas continue to be spent in those areas. Thank you, Chair. On that one, the second question on the maps, well, I have two maps here for you to have a look at. We can distribute those maps, make photocopies of them, but they are already flashed on there. And you can see the position that existed when we had a cross-boundary municipality. That's one of the maps there, and I'll just try and get there's two maps that you can look at. Trying to get the, well, that's one of the maps. There's another map, but we can distribute the map so that the members have a clear idea what was the situation before. The question with SALGA. SALGA is here, and I'm sure they would respond to the question on whether they are happy about the transitional arrangements. I might have my colleague here, Krakanipo, will speak to some of the transitional arrangements currently being implemented by the ministry. There was a question about what's the views of Gauteng and Northwest. We can say quite clearly that when Gauteng and Northwest were approached to publish the relevant notices for the redemarcation, reconstitution of Merafong local city municipality into Gauteng, that they responded positively. There was no serious objections on both those provinces. My colleagues will then venture to, on the question of the costs involved, there are some work going on with the Transitional Committee to deal with the costs, and my colleagues will articulate further on that matter. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. My input relates to the actual process and what we want to do moving forward. But I think what I need to address is the issue of Mutse and Matatiel, because that issue was raised. I think as committee members know, we were in Mutse after the Concord on the 18th of November. We were there on the 17th, and I think it was also on TV. There are issues, but there are different views. Even last Saturday, I was there to pick up a memorandum from the pro-Limpopo people. So there are issues. In Matatiel, we were there on the 14th of January. We met the group. There's a group that is pro-KZN, but there's another group that is pro and not Eastern Cape. So you do have those issues, and I know there are some submissions that are coming on Friday. These are thick documents, and you can see that people are very emotional about these issues, but there are differences. Even if I can tell about Mutse, originally it was Mutse alone, but the last memo, not the last memo, but the other one that was submitted by the pro in Mpumalanga, it also included other areas other than Mutse alone, so which had major implications for Great Kukune, which might even lead to the establishment of some of the municipalities, Great Elias Mosoledi and Great Magle Hall. So it's not something that you can deal with now. It might take another process. But probably what I need to raise is that as far as the demarcation board is concerned, I think the only window was only given to the Merafong in terms of the demarcation process, not the other one. As we'll be having a new board now, which needs to be taken through this process. So it's not going to be easy to deal with both of them. The affidavit, I think it would be provided. We just filed, I know in the process of filing the answering affidavit as far as Mutse is concerned in terms of the consultation on the 14th. The Matatiel will be responding now as well, because we got papers before the consultation on the 14th. So that's what is happening there. So the process has not yet been finalized. The colleague spoke about the establishment of Transitional Committee. We have established the committee. I do have names and everything. But what we needed to do is to get the costing in relation to the damages within the area, damages to the properties of the communities, to the council, and some of the delivery issues. I was there on Friday with other colleagues to speak to the council, and we were waiting for the updated figures, because we need to have an idea as to what needs to be done. But there I can tell you that the issues that you need to deal with the reconstruction and development, as well as nation building exercises within Merafong. And I think that's what the committee will be doing. As part of the committee are the communities of Merafong, National Treasury, provincially and nationally, and Department of Justice is also represented, and other service delivery departments, to make sure that when we deal with the Merafong, now the city and related areas, because you can't deal with the town alone, so you need to deal with all of it. So the team would be looking after everything, and all the structures, or what we call sectors, would be part of the particular process to make sure that whatever we do, people of the area are part of the redefinition of the future of the particular area. I think if one were to talk about why now we are including other areas that were not part of Gauteng before, there are major implications if you just take away the city without other parts, because then that will then, you will have then have to deal with the issues of the municipal boundaries. But also what we are doing is that you deal with the municipality and its area that it services, because you can't just take it off. And that's the approach, so that when you develop the city, you develop the city and the surrounding. And that's the approach that we're dealing with. So all what we need to do is to factor the only provincial boundary just to deal with this particular question. Chair, I'm not sure whether there is another issue that is still outstanding, but I must indicate that both provinces were more than happy and they were very cooperative. Even during the consultation, both of them were there and they gave support to the process. All what we need to do is just to shove our sleeves and go there and do the work to make sure that the development is taking place in that area. I thank you.
Go ahead, please.
Chair, thanks. Just to get clarity on the map, the one that's on the screen, am I right in thinking that below the purple line, that purple line was the provincial boundary before, so that everything below the purple line was that northwest and above was that Gauteng when it was the cross boundary? That's the first question. The second one was just my question around the implementation and the issue of the election wasn't responded to, unless I missed it.
Can I just add a question? I didn't hear the department's reaction to Malusi and Nell's stuff. And other members have raised the same question here. I didn't hear your reaction to that.
Chair, my colleagues will deal with some of those other issues. The purple line, as I understand it, divides, tells us what was in the different provinces. Given the fact that it was a cross-boundary straddling both provinces, so that on the question of the elections, Elroy, I don't know if we can get if that question can be repeated again. Sorry.
Chair, the question was when is, you know, we've had from the Treasury issue this, the whole financial issues around when would this take effect, but I wanted to know as far as voting, where will people, if the bills are passed, where will the people of Merafong vote, in the northwest or in Gauteng?
Thank you, Chair. If one were to respond to the issues raised by Mr. Malusi and Mr. Ned, I think it's proper to indicate that when sectors were consulted, all people were there, even from Mandela and Fortuville, and there was no objection, and unless if they're not part of those consultations themselves. But with what we did, we went, I remember those who went on the 27th, when I went physically and on the 1st, and the meeting that was there, everybody was there in the particular meeting and everybody was consulted. And people cannot come now and say that they were never consulted in this due process. That's the reason why they objected as individuals, not the particular grouping representing a particular community, because everybody was there. But one would be worried if that's the position. The issue of the elections, Chair, we wanted to deal with this issue before the elections, and I think that's the reason why even the Demarcation Board, in terms of their processes, when they engaged the IEC, was to make sure that they open a window for this particular area, not for Mutse and Matatiel, because those have got their own technical issues. But this one was to make sure that it's done before. And one is, I'm always in talks with some of those sectors there, because we have got a relationship now. Because before, there was no relationship between government and themselves. Those issues, those areas were no-go areas. So there's that understanding, and we feel that probably would happen before the election, and that's the appeal that we have, and that's our understanding. If it doesn't happen that way, probably, I don't know, it would be one of those unfortunate situations. Thank you.
Isn't the question here, if I understand JJ correctly, even if I don't, doesn't matter, it's my question. It is this, you see, if you look at the processes, the provinces have to, the NCOP has to take this bill once the NA has passed it to, I think, a public hearing, is that correct, in the areas affected. Now, if that's the case, it's possible that we'll pass the bill before the election. But even if we do, surely there's a minimum period between the passing of the bills on both sides, president signing off, and what happens during the election. Now, I think the question is, well, for me at least, maybe I misunderstand JC, are we seeking to have people vote who are currently in the reform in for the Gauteng provincial legislature? And if that is the case, is that feasible? Because we want the IECF to make it. It depends when the elections are being held, but the sense we have is that the elections will be held sometime between the second week and the fourth week of April. If that is the case, you know, I'm asking, firstly, is the intent that people currently in Marifong will vote for the Gauteng provincial legislature? If that is the case, is that practically possible, given the deadline?
Just adding on to that, I mean, that was the question, where my question was, where will people vote? Eunice has elaborated.
Sorry?
Yes, okay. But I think linked to that would be...
No, what I'm saying is that that's fine. The question is here.
But there's another
element.
Consequence as well. The sizes of the provincial legislature are worked out every 5 years according to either population size or registered voters. Similarly, the allocation of the 200 provincial to national seats, the allocation per province is also linked to population or registered voters. Will that be done prior to the election? Will that be done? So it's two questions. One about where do they physically vote, which IEC conducts the election, is it Northwest, is it Gauteng? And secondly, as far as the sizes of the province, the national component and the provincial legislatures, will that be done before the election if we pass the bill in the next 2 months?
Question, if I may just add the latter part, his improvement of his earlier question.
Yeah.
If in fact the question of have we exhausted the wider implications of the decision, so that if we can address it from that angle, you would include perhaps other issues that we haven't said. Just the way...
Sorry, Chair, can you ask JC why is wasting so much of our time? Why didn't he ask it like that at the beginning? And coming from Imson Dusi, he's an embarrassment to us, but we'll sort that out of sight.
Chairperson, I understand the position is that the voters' roll, in both the provincial and the national voters' roll, closes 60 or on the date of the proclamation of the election. I haven't got the technicalities, we'll have to ask the IEC, but what if these bills have come into operation, why the date of proclamation? Then the voters of Marifong will be in the province, in Northwest, or in Gauteng, and they will be part of the Gauteng voters' roll. They will, for purposes of the provincial legislature, the whole purpose will be part of that. The question is whether these bills have both come into operation before the actual proclamation of the election date. That's my understanding. But I think we should ask the IEC whether they agree to that.
No, Chair, I want to concur with my colleague, Mr. Lowe, because what we maybe need to indicate to the meeting is that earlier in this year, or in fact maybe even last year, I forget when, the ministry had a meeting with the IEC. I was in that meeting, and what we did in that meeting was actually to explore broadly the feasibility of dealing with this legislation prior to the election, and broadly what the implications were. Now, without getting into the detail, the intentions are definitely what all of us are saying. The intention was to have the Marifong municipality reincorporated into Gauteng before the elections, and the intention was definitely also to have them vote within the province of Gauteng. Now, some of the detailed issues that are beginning to arise now, let me also be frank here to say that we may, with your permission, we may want to come back, but also it may be even more appropriate to get the IEC even to come and sit here and make a submission on some of the detailed implications. The only thing I'm clarifying, Chair, is that we had a meeting, and broadly speaking, they were indicating that it is feasible if we manage to get the legislation through before the election. Thanks.
So as Parliament will deliver from our side, we will do this bill expeditiously. But we also have to be aware that it would be wrong to, as Parliament, to sort of like not openly express some of the practical realities. And people, the public needs to be informed about those practical challenges. There is nothing anybody may well be able to do with the best of intentions about delivering on the expectations. But as long as the bill is passed, the people out there, I think, will accept. You know, once it's passed, they it's a matter of the government and the provincial government educating people that, look, we've done the bill. And very shortly after that, you will be effectively voters in Gauteng.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity. Lance Jolan from SAUGA, next to my colleague, Johan Mettler. Chair, if we really look at our comments, firstly, there's a sense that we support the bill. We have raised the three interlinked areas of concern, and some of them have now been raised also. Those relate to, at a high level, the implementation date. Secondly, the transitional arrangements, and thirdly, the financial implications thereof. We for the first time today saw the National Treasury comments, and it in fact confirms our concerns. I mean, the simple thing that just came out now is that if this bill is legislated and acted, what does it then mean for a municipality? Simple example would be the provision of health services. It is done differently between Gauteng and the Northwest Province. How do we deal with that overnight? Is that not a process that we need to look at? But I think, Chair, what we would want to indicate is that those are three areas of concern, and perhaps on Monday, when given an opportunity, we will expand on what we think the implications are for municipalities. Should this matter come into effect immediately, we will just raise the concerns and perhaps come up with a process how can we deal with those particular concerns. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, you see, the people of Marathon are very upset. So probably if they're not reincorporated into Gauteng, they'll probably vote DA. But if they reincorporated, they might vote Coke Light or whatever. Just a comment. Thank you.
In an election mode right now. Unable to deal with the matters before us proper. Okay, let's get another comment. Sure.
I just wanted to raise a few quick questions, right? I see Steve even coming. One is... I just think, isn't it necessary for us to draw some lessons from this experience? And also, in fitting this bill, some criteria might emerge in Parliament deciding on how to deal with the other two cases. It may not follow, I don't know, that while we all feel, and it seems across the parties, unless I hear otherwise, that it is correct for Marathon to go into Gauteng. It may not necessarily follow that we agree that Mutse and Matatiel. I don't know. So when we're looking at this bill, Comrade Kosin, shouldn't we also look at what lessons we can draw? What are the criteria? The second point that arises is, while the views of citizens are very important in respect of where they think they should belong, that is not the sole criteria one can use in deciding boundaries, even in the case of the complex issue of cross-boundary municipalities. There must be some objective criteria. One recognizes ethnic identities and so on. They overlap ethnic, regional, and other identities. But as Parliament, we've passed the Demarcation Act. And as I recall it, I was in the committee at the time, in about early 1998. We had a set of criteria that defined boundaries of municipalities. Let's just say if I'm correct, there's a whole lot of things like flow of goods and services, mobility, and so on. But one of the very important criteria what's set out as public attitudes, not the sole criteria. Because otherwise you don't need a demarcation board, you just ask people, where do you think you should belong? Then popular will decide. Now I realize that with this, you will recall also, Elroy, Fani in particular, you processed that sort with us. We said then also that we didn't want these cross-boundary municipalities, and we asked the government to review provincial boundaries. But we also raised this issue of the demarcation board. In the Municipal Demarcation Act, if I recall, Elroy, Fani, it says that the board can make a decision about boundaries, but then the minister can override that. Is that correct? You must look at that. And you'll recall we had this huge debate about in what circumstances can a minister do it, because my sense is that some of these things could have been avoided if the government of the time had been less intrusive. But we as Parliament, we voted 3 years ago, I think it was, for this. So we must take co-responsibility. You see, we can't say that the government didn't listen to the people. Parliament, we must take some responsibility. We didn't listen to the people. And in our report, we ultimately are the organ of people's power. We as Parliament, we can't shrink away from our responsibility to take the public view. That includes my friend there from the DA. He was here, presumably, or his party was here. And, sorry? Oh, you voted against. All right, well, okay, but the point I'm trying to make ultimately is that why, what would be the point of looking at this matter alone without drawing more general lessons? And I think in our report to Parliament, we should draw the general lessons. That I don't think one can argue that the views of people alone decide. But the role of the demarcation board, I would be interested to know. I know this, the co-chair explained to me that it's not, I've forgotten these things, of course, it's a long time since I was in this committee. The demarcation board doesn't have, is that correct? Where's the demarcation? Are you a demarcation board?
Yeah.
Can you explain firstly, do you have a role when it comes to cross-boundary municipalities, never say? And did you have a specific say, officially at least, on the issue of where Kutsong should belong, and to what extent was the agreement or divergence with the minister? Then the next thing is, you see, the point is that we may want to look at this whole thing for what it tells us about the relationship between Parliament, the executive and statutory bodies. Then on the public participation process, we have had this experience with Matatil, and we'd be foolhardy to actually not draw the lessons, many of which actually we agree with. We agree with it. Parliament must consult properly, notwithstanding all the deadlines. I really think we must do that. Then the next thing is, can we get a comment from the committee section or the department? In terms of the constitutional amendments, 30 days have to elapse between the time a bill is tabled and the time that the bill is voted on. In the meanwhile, we can process a bill. Am I correct? Now, in that case, when does the 30 days elapse, if such a requirement obtains, as I think it does? Thank you.
Okay. Just to add, okay.
Thank you, Chair, and my apologies for being late. It was due to unforeseen circumstances. I just want to touch on, if I may, what Chair Karim has, your co-chair, has mentioned about the issue relating to the public participation process and the lesson we learned. Now, we did vote against it previously, but clearly the two cases, the Doctors for Life and the Matatiel Constitutional Court cases, set out what is exactly required in terms of public participation and to what degree do we have to listen to that. And it's useful to reconsider that. With that in mind, I think we need to be very aware that in this process, whilst there were residents from Kutsong that did not want to go to Northwest, we're aware that there are residents here that do not want to go to Gauteng. And the question is, to what degree have their views been considered? From the correspondence, and correct me and forgive me if you've already raised this issue, but it appears that the residents of Fochville, Kokosi, Greens Park and Videla, according to the one submission, have not been informed or consulted. And if that is correct, and if the allegation is correct that they represent 40% of that community, it seems to be a serious deficiency at this stage. Sure, there's going to be more consultation. I'm not sure, maybe, and that's a question, to what degree have those communities been consulted who were traditionally, as I understand it, in Northwest
and are now being moved to Gauteng. And I think that's a very important aspect that we need to consider, because if the decision goes through, then you're going to have that community that was traditionally northwest is now going into Gauteng, where they, and you might have exactly the same situation that you had before. But I appreciate the that it is a unique situation of a cross-border municipality, and we're not going to necessarily satisfy every person and every individual, and that is the dilemma we're faced with. Thank you. But it's purely on the issue of the participation requirement and what is required from that. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. That question has been answered, but we'll come back to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, my apologies for coming late, but I'm responding I want to respond on what Mr. Karim has said, as well as my colleague Swan. In the case of Huso, a consultation was done. Now, Mr. Swan makes specific reason that other people want to consult the Kokosi. Kokosi is at Fokville, which is also not very far from it. Now, the problem probably that could have arisen is that when this was now published, the notices going out, I think the place of rendezvous was at Khutsong Stadium, where everybody was there. And the mandate, the negotiating mandate from Gauteng, coming from the people of Khutsong, was that we don't want to go to Northwest. That is the mandate that we carried to negotiate on behalf of Khutsong. But when the final mandate came, which was now taken by the legislature, was contrary to the mandate that we originally tried to pursue. Now, Mr. Karim said the parliament must be blamed. Now, I don't know to what extent, because the people in the negotiating mandate have explicitly said that we don't want to go to Northwest. Now, how far can we go? Thank you, sir.
I'm going to... in the organizations informed and consulted, I noticed that in your presentation, this is a formal way in which you deal with official submissions. It's a tradition, it's a custom. There's no reference to this question about communities having been consulted or organizations of civil society or whatever else that have been consulted. You normally leave it at the official internal consultation. This is the first weakness I want to suggest we must remedy in the future submissions to Parliament. If this is a Parliament tribune, we know you do say it when asked whether you consulted it. You do explain, like it was explained here about the people of Fokville, Kokosi, and so on, that they have been consulted, they were at meetings. These two people, individuals who seem to have been writing from the same thing, changed a couple of comments. They talked about grammar, and then the others said the same thing. May not have been at the meetings and so on, but essentially they were consulted. Now, the court cases which you cite say, we must also not read them selectively. Because in the Doctors for Life issue, just as in other cases, there's reference to some provinces, for example, because they assumed that they decided, look, we will not consult because we agree with this thing. We don't have to go and do it formally. We know we will agree with it. Now, just as in KwaZulu-Natal, they chose no, we don't have to do it, let's go ahead. The Eastern Cape agreed with it, did the consultation and formally got the mandate. Now, when the court pronounces on the quality and the nature of the debate, it even amongst themselves, they differ. Even if there was a majority view, that the majority view in the other case said, does it mean that if people say we want to go to Y, that's what the decision the government must take? Judges differed on that issue. Now, what the Honorable Court Chairperson was saying earlier on here about what criteria we use to decide where to go to, this is a this is one issue that Parliament must seriously take on board as a matter of urgent management of how we do things. Because the wider implications that we are talking about is what government does when it makes decisions. What are the implications of taking this decision that people are asking? Does it have positive
in the wider area of issues and so on, or not? Because they have an overview, a bird's-eye view of the country, not only of that area, so that they look at the implications of a social, political, economic nature when making those decisions. So it cannot only be what people want to do. Government has a responsibility to lead as well. And it is that difficult issue that we must also battle with on a continual basis. Otherwise, we are responding only to one part of the reality of decision-making in government, including politically as well. This is the issue that we ought to be cognizant of. There are wider implications to every decision that we take. They cannot be ignored by any of the decisions we take. So even as we do this, and this is where we are trying to say, let us exhaust all the wider implications and look at what it means for what needs to be done, because that is also still what government has to work with and so on. So Parliament has the responsibility to put its wider eyes, so to speak, and look at those issues in that manner and be satisfied with the responses that we receive from government that have done so. Consider the wider implications. And for your interestingly, those of you who may have looked at the recent evaluation of Parliament's report, this is one of the proposals they make. You may want to debate it, that every piece of legislation must be submitted by government with an indication of the wider implications of that legislation. A very useful, interesting point to look at, because otherwise we keep coming back to the same issue to do different things and so on. So for purpose of neatness and elegance of lawmaking, we've got to be mindful of the wider implications and so on.
I totally agree with the co-chair. There's another issue that arises that we need to think about. You see, we are not a federal state. And that people feel so strongly, in this particular case, I think all of us agree, it's correct. But it may not be correct in another case where people feel that way. It may be in their objective interest to remain where they are than where they want to be. And I really think if we're a federal state, it's more understandable. But in a system of cooperative governance that breaks the mold of unity and federal view of some of us, I really think this is an issue that arises. You know, but it also points to another thing which is worrying. 15 years down the road, there is such uneven development. You know, you'd rather be living, well, we have ethnic identities and identities of home and region, it's true. But I think many people would rather live, maybe it's true, in Gauteng, for material reasons, even if they come from the Eastern Cape and so on. And the notion of uneven development, I mean, it's something we're supposed to have been addressing over 14 years. So what is an issue here? There are some ethnic issues, those of you who understand it know more than I do, but there's also this feeling that if I'm in Gauteng, I'm materially better off than if I'm in Northwest. And that cannot be something that persists for another 15 years. So what is the nature of our democracy? I mean, isn't that the issue? We're all South Africans. Why this? Well, it's understandable why, but it's something that we don't want to see persist, in short.
The Municipal Demarcation Board Chair.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Chair. I just want to clarify. There was a question raised about the role of the Demarcation Board, especially with respect to when Kudzo Nerafong City became part of the Northwest. Just to clarify that very, very briefly. The role of the board is to determine and or determine municipal boundaries. And what happened was that as part of that process, we had to redetermine the boundaries of the two districts. Nerafong was in the Western District as a cross-border municipality. When moving to the Northwest, as a consequence of the change in the provincial boundaries, we redetermined the boundaries of the two districts, Western and the then Southern District Municipality, and followed the due process as such. That was our role, because our role is to determine municipal boundaries within the confines of provincial boundaries, and those provincial boundaries then get are those that get changed or amended by this very process led by Parliament and the Executive. Let us clarify that, Chair, that was the role of the Board. Thank you.
So, as you notice, Co-Chairperson, he's absolutely silent.
Yeah, I
on the key question you asked. And it's because it's not in his mandate. He doesn't want to tell us openly that, I don't know why, whether you make comments or decisions about in which boundary a municipality would answer. Can you answer that question directly, sir?
Can I put it to him less, more palatably?
Objectively, would you suggest that Kutsong, or at least Merafong, should be in the northwest or Gauteng? And before you answer, know that people in Kutsong are probably going to know your answer sometime, some way or the other. So I don't know how objective your answer can be.
Chairperson, when I respond to this question, I responded personally, not on behalf of the board. And I will say that there has always been a belief, and generally at board, that Merafong should never have been part of the Northwest in the first place. Our position has always been that Merafong should remain in Gauteng. But I'm not talking on behalf of the board. I'm telling you the position as has existed at the board.
See why I'm asking this question? Because Parliament has to raise things about the way the executive operates too. And my own view, by the way, Richisa, that bill that we passed, I must admit I was the chair. I fought vigorously. Look at that bill carefully. You will recall you and Petra Bauer said, no, we agree that ministers must have some latitude to take decisions. But the Parliament must limit the parameters within which the executive does these things. We, in fact, fought, you'll recall, in the period from 1994 to Lucisa was here, till about 2000, that these regulations that we just used to put into bills, picking up on the British system and your system, Dr. Delaporte, prior to 1994, many of us opposed it because we knew what would happen. And you'll remember the fight. What would happen is, you say the minister can regulate. And then what usually happens is a department which loses out when there's an activistic, vigorous portfolio committee. Yeah, he's nodding, he said he knows they do that. What they do is, they lose out on issues. We say, we don't accept this. Change the thing. Then through regulations, they bring back many, many issues that they lost out in the parliamentary process. Some of us chairs of the time complained bitterly. And Flinigan Walla, I don't know why, it took her 4 to 5 years to pick up, okay, on this issue. And in fact, she will recall shortly before she left, comrade, co-chairs will remember. She said, no, 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 this thing about regulations, we must bring regulations to be tabled and sometimes even approved of by Parliament. So all I'm telling, all I'm suggesting is that, you see, we're going to just go around in circles. 10 years from now, we'll have similar problems unless Parliament sets out in its report some lessons we've drawn and provides a guide for this committee's, again, mainly your committee, really, on how to tackle the other two cases, Mutse and Matatil.
Yes, well, you, Meron, or did you, or it, by the way, your name?
It's Ntlakane from Kontwana.
Yes.
I think my only input is that we will assist with some of the lessons because we have got the hands on, we have been down there where people were being assaulted and so on and so on. And we survived, I don't know how, but it's happened. And I think the other issue is that we have got a very dicey situation here because we have got it's a two-pronged system. Because they use the courts, and on the other side they use the matches and harass you. I don't sleep at night. Even last night I got an SMS from someone, tell me now, where are we going? And, you know, it's one of those issues. So now as we deal with the court case on this other side, they try to get information on the other side so that they manipulate you when you go to court. And our view is that we don't want the courts to decide for us. I think as Africans, we are known for dialogue and agreeing on some of the issues. And I think these are some of the issues that are happening down on the ground. And some who are leading in certain areas, they want to emerge as heroes in their communities. And by so doing, they declare the government institution as illegitimate. And these are some of the experiences that we have. We find that now the municipality can't provide services. They don't want the mayor. They don't want the councillor. Now somebody is doing his own things in certain areas. And I think these are some of the challenges. We have identified them. But in the reports that we'll be working on for the other two, I think we'll be able to make an input and assist in the job process. Thank you.
You want to say something?
Yeah, Chair, just to compliment the point made by Chair Eunice Karim about that, you know, public participation is one aspect of the wider consideration. I think government as a whole has also, when looking at this matter, looked at the fact that Merafong's local municipality as a development entity as a whole, and because of the coordination of development and economic linkages, should also move over in that respect. And so that was one of the ideas. And there was mentioned by one of the questions about an affidavit that was mentioned in the Mpumalanga. And Chair, we will undertake to follow up on that affidavit and make it available to the Chair. Thanks.
Roy?
Chair, I thought maybe I was just coming on the back of my colleague. I mean, he didn't introduce himself. He's Mr. Hilary Monare. He's the CEO of the Municipal Demarcation Board that was speaking there. And we were quite closely together. I thought I must just say the obvious to make the point that when it comes to boundaries in this country, there are two legal regimes that govern how we deal with boundaries. When it comes to provincial boundaries, this is the process that we're busy with now. We go through a constitutional amendment. And the constitution, as was indicated earlier, deals with the matter of provincial boundaries, where they exist and so on. So that's the legal regime, very simply, when it comes to provincial boundaries. Municipal boundaries have got a separate legal regime. And that is where the Municipal Demarcation Board comes in. Strictly speaking, legally speaking, they've got nothing to do with provincial boundaries, Chairperson. They deal, as the Chairperson was saying, or as the CEO was saying, the Municipal Demarcation Board is constitutionally entitled to determine and redetermine municipal boundaries and also ward committee boundaries within a municipality. But then it is the constitutional process that decides where that entity of a municipality is located in terms of a provincial boundary. So I'm just clarifying for all of us that there are these two legal regimes that exist, and that's partly why my colleague was maybe so cautious, Chair. Thanks.
Yeah. Sorry, let me reintroduce myself, Stan Kanyen from the Minister. There was a comment made by the co-chair Karim in terms of the IEC. Perhaps one issue that one could take out of this around the practicalities insofar as the preparation for the elections, as well as the involvement of the IEC, because you will recall, Chair, that in terms of the law, once the president of the country has declared the date of the elections, the IEC then must do the electoral or the election timetable to take us through up until the date of that election. So there are practical issues that perhaps the department will go back, because we are in constant discussion with the IEC around those issues. But my colleague has already said earlier on, some of the activities could be the activities of the IEC in terms of the Electoral Act, but some of the issues could be the issues that we can work together insofar as ensuring that the issues are met. The intention being to say that these people will obviously vote out. I just thought, let me make that point as a way forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a brief comment on the input on page number 3, where it says summary of the comments received, continue. There is that point which says the NT indicates that 2005 provincial boundary change implications are still being felt by provinces and municipalities. I just want to concur with this point. I'm from a former cross-boundary area, and I know exactly that the effect can last longer than when the process has been finalized. As I'm speaking to you today, the transfer of assets was very slow. The schools were transferred, if I'm not mistaken, towards the end of 2007 from Mpumalanga to Gauteng, in the area where they were formerly under Mpumalanga. But even now, the assets, insofar as the assets are concerned, land, for example.
Who's back, Richard?
No, this is Ekangala.
Ekangala, okay, yeah, sure, okay.
Cross-bound in Mpumalanga.
Yeah, I just wanted us to all know where you come from, yeah.
Yeah. But, Commissioner, the land has not just still been transferred from Mpumalanga to Gauteng. As a result, the municipality, the Kungwini, can't allocate land for churches, land for business and the like. So I'm just saying, I want to concur with this one, that the implication can last longer than when the process has been settled.
It's a very good point you're making, SP, because in the wider implications we were talking about earlier, when we handled this legislation previously, part of the doing away with the cross-boundary municipalities was that there should be transitional committees between the provinces to avoid precisely the point that you are making. In other words, in advance, work things so that you can contain the possibility of staff lagging behind even after that event. So perhaps the responsibility is ours as parliament and committees, including government, to follow up those kind of decisions to ensure that nothing stays hanging. And now it's between those municipalities and those, and perhaps a province or two, and everybody else forgets it. So we must have a system of ensuring that we follow up. This is an important lesson that we are learning from this exercise, that the implications, if we do not in advance identify them, but also on implementation, follow them up to ensure that what gets agreed upon gets implemented, and we deal with what drags with the urgency that it requires, we can in fact add to the problems that people are complaining about, service delivery. That's one of the immediate sharp implications it has. Thanks for raising that. Are there any other, you wanted to add something from Justice?
Yes, just the issue of the 30 days. The 30 days. In terms of Section 74(8) of the Constitution, the National Assembly may not vote on a bill within 30 days after its introduction in the Assembly, if the Assembly is sitting when the bill is introduced, or within 30 days after its tabling, if the Assembly is in recess when the bill is introduced. Now, this bill was submitted to the Speaker on the 13th of January, and in terms of the ATC, or according to the ATC, it was then also introduced into Parliament on the 13th. Personally, I don't know whether Parliament, I know committees, I think, started on the 12th of January this year. So I don't know whether the fact that the committees is sitting, whether that can be regarded as the National Assembly is sitting, or whether the National Assembly is still in recess. This is an issue, I think, which we will have to clarify with the table of the National Assembly. I don't think I'm in a position to express any view on that issue. The fact of the matter is the bill was introduced on it, or it's indicated that it was introduced on the 13th. So what I'll do, I'll go and speak to the table, and then I'll come on Monday. I'll hopefully be able to get the committee and also as to when that, exactly when that 30 days lapse.
In other words, you are saying that a bill tabled during a sitting cannot be voted on before the end of a 30-day period. Okay? So, in other words, presuming that it is found that the 13th was an appropriate date for introduction, the 13th of February would be the end of the month, and therefore we can't vote for it within this period. Okay? I mean, I'm just making that assumption. If it is considered that the 13th was an appropriate date with Parliament not being in recess, that it was introduced. So what you will check is whether in fact that is so or otherwise.
That's correct, Jefferson. I don't think anything prohibits this committee or the committees to consider the bill, to deliberate on the bill, and even the committee can even pass the bill, as long as the National Assembly may not vote. But another issue that I would like to raise is if it's decided to process or to expedite the processing of this bill, then consideration should be given to the suspension of that rule saying that the National Assembly may not vote on a bill within 3 days after the committee's report has been tabled. Okay. But I'll come back to the committee on Monday as far as
the legal implication we must be mindful of. I hope they have been captured as well. Yeah. Thank you very much. Koshi?
Follow up on the 3-day rule. No, Chair, I think some other things can be easily clarified there. I want to draw attention to the provision of the joint rules in our parliament, that a sitting means, can it be a committee sitting or a parliament sitting? That is a sitting. Hence, when we say if you absent yourself from a sitting, we are referring to either a sitting in the chamber or in a committee.
So a sitting refers to both. So if the bill is produced on the 13th, that parliament resumed on the 12th, as you will remember, 12th of January. So our sitting started either on the 12th or 13th, whatever you may think. That will be a sitting chair. So that's what I think it is which you can clarify. But the other things, as Bush lawyers, I think we can talk to the department, we can clarify that. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thanks. I hope they confirm your observation. That's why we were running away from doing it. I was busy about Bush lawyers. Any other department? Is there anything else you would like to add in your wisdom? I think what has been very useful is for you members to raise important issues we should be mindful of and keep in our eye and so on for managing this process and so on. Yeah. And obviously not being a historical, learning in how we dealt with these matters in the past so that we don't commit the same mistakes, but we learn from the lessons of history.
Before you finish, can I just say one thing that struck me? I wasn't here, obviously, when the earlier bills were processed in 2005, but essentially this is a local government. Primarily it's a local government process. All we're doing as justice, if I'm correct, is actually facilitating it. So while we will sit together, and while we'll process it together and we'll participate, we won't join the committee, if you like. The primary responsibility will rest with local governments. Am I correct? So, in short, I'm a bit relieved about that. The pressure on justice is far less. And there are other matters I must draw the Justice Committee's attention to that we have to attend to, including reports on the criminal justice system. There's the outstanding reports from the NPA and Office of Public Protector. There's the Paja rules. I'm saying things just for them. Now, if I'm correct, Carol, before people disappear, can you alert them? Are we having public hearings on Paja?
Public hearings will take place on Friday the 13th, that morning. The advertisements going into the press today.
Not an auspicious day, but people have to be here. And I think either JJ or Carol will chair, because they're taking responsibility for that Paja. We're pleased to say there's consensus now between the rules board and everybody, the ministry and so on. Is that correct?
So there was a task team put in place between the department, the rules board, myself and JJ sat in on that, so pretty much the drafting exercise.
So it should go relatively.
It should go quite
smoothly.
We've also sent it to the Law Society, the General Council of the Bar, BLA, NADEL, so yeah, it should go smoothly.
Members, whilst I accept the observations of my co-chair here, I would like to cut them by half. They are very important constitutional considerations that has emerged in our discussion of this bill. So even if it is correct that you must give half of your attention to the issues you have identified, we do expect that you must have your half yourselves in this process up to its end. So you will be granted no relief as you are asking us to give you. But thank you very much, members. We expect that on Monday the hearings will proceed, and so we'll continue more or less perhaps with views from other stakeholders. As we indicated earlier on there, that under organizations informed and consulted, as Parliament we've invited, we hope that we get enough responses to handle this matter. Thank you very much for your contribution, members, and the department. Thank you very much for what you have given us today. Thanks. I'm told that for members and department officials, lunch is served at 12:30 in the old assembly restaurant. Please join us there. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.